Well, it is good to see everyone who's here for the meeting this evening, and I want to add my welcome to the welcome that's been given already. I'd like to read to you this evening from the book of Isaiah and chapter 63. Now, this might seem a strange place to read from this evening, and perhaps even stranger when we start to read it, but I hope that the reason for reading it will become plain as we think about it together. Isaiah and chapter 63, and we'll read from verse 1. It says this: "Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments, dyed clothes from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength." And the answer comes back. There's a question that's asked. The answer comes back: "I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save." Another question: "Wherefore or why art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat?" The answer comes back: "I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in my anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment, all my clothes, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth." Now that's what we're going to read this evening, and we look to God to bless to us this reading from his word. I particularly want to bring to your attention this evening the first answer to the first question that was given: who is this? And if we were to ask the question, who is it that we want to tell you about this evening? The answer comes back: I want to tell you about a mighty, a strong, a powerful, a wonderful Saviour. We've been singing about him already this evening. And I'm glad that the hymns, particularly the hymns at the beginning, were picked, and all the hymns that this evening, because they would tell us about the Lord Jesus. And they would tell us about the work that he has done. I want to think with you about this mighty, this strong, this powerful Saviour. But I want, first of all, to speak about the passage, this part of the Bible that we've read, as it stands in its context. Because Isaiah, he's writing about the future. He's writing about things that haven't happened yet. He's writing, in fact, about the time when the Lord Jesus is going to come back again to this earth. He's gone away, and he's promised he's coming back, and we've been told that he's coming back. And when the Lord Jesus comes back, he's coming to bring judgment and to bring punishment, as the Bible would tell us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, on those who know not God, who don't know God, and who haven't obeyed the gospel, who haven't done what God has asked us to do. You see, the gospel goes out. The good news of salvation goes out. The good news of salvation, of forgiveness of sins. And it is through putting our trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And if we don't do that, then we cannot be saved. And so this is talking about that time. And there's a terrible time that's coming for this world. A time of turmoil, a time of trouble. Sometimes we might look on the world around us and we think that there's plenty of trouble already, but I want to tell you the Bible tells us that it's going to get worse. In fact, it's going to get much worse. And then eventually, then the Lord Jesus is going to come back. And the Lord Jesus is going to sort things out. And the Lord Jesus is going to reign. He's going to rule. He's going to be king over the whole world. And he's going to bring about a righteous, a just, a fair reign. And if we think about that, we might think, if we were to read on in Isaiah, we'd come to the next chapter, chapter 64. And chapter 64 begins, and he's been speaking about these things. He's been speaking about a time of salvation for the redeemed, when God will sort things out and will put the world to rights, and when he will deal with the wicked, and when he will bring judgment and punishment. And you might say, with Isaiah, he says, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. If only that could happen now. If only that would happen now." You see, the world around us is looking for peace. And it looks for justice. And it looks for fairness. And it looks for, and it needs, it really does need somebody to put things right. And say, if only that could happen now. Sometimes people would say this. They would say, if there is a God, why doesn't he come and sort things out? If there is a God, why doesn't he sort things out? Well, I want to tell you, he is going to. He will do. But you see, if you were to read down in chapter 64 and you were to come down a little bit, you would find in verse 6 that Isaiah says, but. You see, there is a big but. As we think about God coming, as we think about the Lord Jesus coming, and setting things to right, and setting up a kingdom that is fair and just, there's a but. And it says this: we are all as an unclean thing. We're all dirty. And all our righteousnesses, that is, all the best things, all the good things that we can do, are like filthy rags. Dirty, horrible bits of oily cloth that are fit just to be thrown away or to be put in the fire and burned. You see, what we need to understand tonight and what we need to face up to, what we need to admit, is that we're part of the problem. When we think, and when we look for God coming and the Lord Jesus coming to sort things out, what we need to realize is that when he sorts things out, and when he puts away sin, when he roots out and takes sin and sinful things out of his kingdom, we have to realize that we too are dirty in God's sight. We too aren't fit for his kingdom. We're not fit for his presence. We're not fit for his heaven. Because of what we are, we're unclean. You say, why are we unclean? What makes us unclean? Well, the Lord Jesus, he would tell us about things that make us unclean. And he says it's not the fact that we eat without washing our hands, or we do other things on the outside. He says it's what's inside that makes us unclean. It's our hearts. Because he says, out of our hearts come all kinds of things. And there's bad thoughts, and lies, and immoral thoughts, and so many things, and they come out of our hearts, and they make us unclean. And if God is going to come and judge and punish sin, then he'll have to punish us too. He'll have to punish us too. So maybe we need to think again before we say, if only he would come now. I want to ask you, are you ready for him to come? Are you ready for him to come? You see, the writer of the Psalms, one of the writers of the Psalms, he would say this. He said, Lord, if you were to mark, if you were to take note of iniquity, of sin, says, Lord, who would stand? And that's true, isn't it? If God was to punish sin and people that commit sins, if God was to come down now and punish us, he says, who would stand? He says, but there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness with God. And that's why we want to tell you this evening about a mighty Saviour. About a strong, a powerful, a wonderful Saviour. We want to tell you about the Lord Jesus. And if the question or the longing is expressed and say, why doesn't God come down and do something about the state of the world? I want to tell you, he already has. Why doesn't he open heaven and come down? Well, the Bible tells us he already has. Because I want to tell you about a man called Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, whose name Jesus itself means Saviour. The Lord Jesus came and he bore this wonderful name. He bore a name that tells about what he came into the world to do, about who he is, for he is the Saviour. And the Bible tells us he wasn't just an ordinary man. But the Bible says that God sent his only Son into the world. When the right time came, God sent his own Son. And so when we think about the Lord Jesus, when we think about the one who was born 2,000 years ago in the manger in Bethlehem, we realize that God has pulled back the curtains of heaven. God has opened heaven. And God has come down. He came down right to where we are. Right to where we were. He didn't come down on a visit, so to speak. He didn't come down like the king and come and down here for a bit and then go away again. No, he came right to where we were. He was born. And he grew up. And he lived. And if we speak about a mighty Saviour, a powerful Saviour, the Bible tells us about mighty works that he did. And the Bible tells us about so many people who were blessed by him. And we can think of the blind whom he made to see. And we can think of the deaf who were able to hear again. Those that were lame. Those that couldn't walk, and he made them able to walk again. Well, not only so, but he could still the winds and the sea. He could walk on the water. So many wonderful, mighty works that he did, even raising dead people back to life again. Such a wonderful man. Such a wonderful person that we tell you about. Such a powerful man that we tell you about. But I want to tell you that the mighty works aren't what makes him a mighty Saviour. It's not the mighty things that he did when he was here. It's not the miracles that he performed that make him a mighty Saviour. You know, he was mighty not just in his deeds, not just in the things that he did, but he was mighty, he was strong in his character. Strong in his character. He never sinned. He never lied. He never lost his temper. Mind you, how often do we do that? How often do we just say something that's not quite true? Or something that we know is absolutely false? He never did that. He never gave in to temptation. You know, we face all kinds of temptations every day, don't we? And there's things that we know that we shouldn't do, and we just really, really can't help it. And we find ourselves doing them. The Lord Jesus, he never gave in to temptation. Never, ever sinned. Never did anything that was wrong. Never said anything that was wrong. Never even thought anything that was wrong. You know, it takes someone with a really strong character to be able to control everything. You know, the Bible says about the tongue, our tongues, says the tongue no one can tame. All kinds of animals, you can tame them and you can train them and you can do things, do different things with them. You can make them jump through hoops and all kinds of things. But he says the tongue no one can tame. Yet the Lord Jesus says there was no deceit ever in his mouth. The Lord Jesus was mighty in character. And although if he wasn't, he couldn't be the Saviour. If he had sinned, he wouldn't be fit to be our Saviour. That's not what makes him our Saviour either. You see, there came a point when he was arrested. There came a point when he was mocked, when he was ridiculed, when he was beaten, when he was unjustly condemned, when he was taken outside the city and he was nailed to a cross of wood. And there came a time when he went through the darkness, and there came a time when he died. And you say, well, that doesn't sound like strength. That sounds like weakness. That doesn't sound like a mighty saviour. It doesn't sound like a mighty victory, a wonderful victory. That sounds like a great defeat. And it does, doesn't it? The Bible says that the preaching of the cross, which is what we tell you about this evening. We tell you about the cross of the Lord Jesus, about the death of Christ. He says the preaching of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God. Because I want to tell you this evening that despite what it looks like, despite what it looks like, there at the cross, the Lord Jesus won the greatest battle that this world has ever known. He won the greatest victory that has ever, ever been won. You see, let's think back. What is it that our biggest problem is? What is it that means that we are facing the judgment and the punishment of God? Well, the problem is that we're unclean. The problem is our sin. Our sin that separates us from God, that makes us unfit for heaven, that makes us fit for his judgment and for his punishment. It's our sin. I want to tell you, there on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus, he took the punishment for our sin. There, the Lord Jesus, he took all the judgment and all the anger and all the fury of God against sin, and he took it all upon himself. And because sin demanded punishment, And because the Lord Jesus took the punishment for us, then we can be forgiven. And we can be freed. I want to tell you this evening that there's no other way that that could happen. There's no other way that our sins could be forgiven, that our sins could be got rid of. You see, it doesn't matter what we wash ourselves in, we can't get rid of our sin. And it doesn't matter what we do, we can't work away our sin. We can't go on a pilgrimage, or we can't go and do some wonderful thing, some hard thing, some great thing. We can't get rid of our sin by ourselves. But what we couldn't do and what we can't do, the Lord Jesus has done. I tell you, that's a mighty victory. That's a wonderful, wonderful salvation that the Lord Jesus has done. You see, sin not only demanded punishment, but sin's a powerful master. Sin has us under its control. We've already spoken about temptation, haven't we? And we've already spoken about times when there's something that we know to be wrong and yet we really want to do it, and we do it, and we can't help it. Says the Bible, that means that we're a slave, we're under sin's control. And the things that we know that we shouldn't do, we can't help doing them, and doing them time and time and time again. But you know what happened when the Lord Jesus died? The Lord Jesus has broken sin's power. And he's broken its control over us. So that if we put our trust in him as our Saviour, and if we realise that when he died for us, and he took our place, and he took our punishment, then the Lord Jesus, he breaks the power of sin in our lives. So he can help us to say no to sin. He can help us stand up to sin. And he can help us to do the things that are right. Well, there's another enemy that we face. The enemy of our souls. The Bible calls him the devil. The Bible calls him Satan. And there's nothing more that he would want than that you would not be saved. There's nothing more, nothing greater that he wants for you than that he would take you down with him. He's got no love for you. And he hates God. But the Lord Jesus has defeated the devil. He's defeated him. See, the devil would come and he would speak about all the things that we've done wrong. And he would accuse us to God. But for those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus, we're forgiven. Forgiven of every sin, of everything that we've ever done, and everything that we ever will do. And there's nothing that he can accuse us of anymore, because the Lord Jesus is there. The Lord Jesus is our Saviour. He's defeated another enemy. It's an enemy that every single one of us face. It's an enemy that that sooner or later claims everybody. And that enemy is death. A great, great enemy. An enemy to be feared. But the Lord Jesus has defeated death. Not only has he defeated the devil by dying, but the Lord Jesus has defeated death itself, for he didn't stay dead. Though he died on the cross there at Calvary all those years ago, yet he rose again triumphantly the third day. He came back to life. He lives, never to die again. And he's alive. And he's in heaven this evening. You know, every single enemy has been defeated at the cross. Every single thing that would keep us out of heaven, that would keep us away from God forever, it's all been dealt with. It's all been finished with. No wonder we tell you about a mighty Saviour. No wonder we tell you about a wonderful victory that has been gained. I want to go ask you this evening, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour? Are you ready? If he were to come again, and if he were to come again tonight, and if he were to come again to punish those whose sins had not been forgiven, where would you be? Where would you stand before him? He's defeated every enemy so we can be set free. He's defeated every enemy so that we can be forgiven. I want to ask you this evening. It speaks here in the part of the Bible that we read. It speaks about the day of vengeance against his enemies. And it speaks about the year of his redeemed, those whom he has bought, those whom he has saved. Which group are you in? Are you his enemy? Or are you one of his saved? You say, well, I wouldn't exactly call myself an enemy. You see, it's not what we call ourselves, it's what God calls us. And the Bible says that we are enemies of God. We're cut off from God by the things that we do. We're cut off from him by our sins. But the Bible says that when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. You know, it's possible for enemies to become friends this evening. It's possible for those who are sinners to become saved. It's possible for those who are unclean to become clean. For those who are guilty to be forgiven. Have you been forgiven tonight? It's the most wonderful thing that you could ever experience. To be forgiven. To be right with God. To be ready for heaven. You say, well, how do I get it? How can I be saved? How can I become a friend of God? Well, the first step is to admit that you're a sinner. To admit that you're unclean. To admit that you're not fit for heaven. To admit that you deserve to be punished for your sins. Mind you, that's a big step, isn't it? It's not an easy step, that. But I want to tell you this evening, it's absolutely vital if we want to be saved. If we want to be in God's heaven, we have to realize that we need to be saved. To admit that you're a sinner. And then to put your trust in the Lord Jesus. To believe in him. The Bible says, believe on. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. So, well, what does that mean? What do I put my trust in? Well, you see, he realized that when he died for you. Realized that the punishment that was due to you for your sins, he took. Realize that he has defeated every enemy so that you can be forgiven. Realize that not only did he die, but he lives again so that you can trust him. You can't trust someone who's dead. Makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But the fact that we tell you to trust Christ this evening is because he's alive. And he's in heaven. And he can hear. And he's waiting for your cry. And he's waiting for you to ask him, to call upon him to save you. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He is a mighty, a wonderful, a powerful, a strong Saviour. There is no Saviour like him. Says the Bible, those who trust him will never be disappointed. Will never be let down. Will never be let go. Will you trust him this evening? Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for this time that we've had together this evening. We thank thee again that we can speak about the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee, Father, for the one who is a wonderful Saviour. We thank thee, Father, for what he has done. And though our Father, to the eyes of the world, it might look like he was defeated, and it might look like he was crucified in weakness, yet, our Father, we thank thee that there at the cross such a wonderful and a glorious victory was won. We thank thee, Father, that we can be forgiven. We thank thee, Father, for everyone in the room here this evening that is already forgiven, that knows the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. Now, Father, we pray that if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't, we ask that thou wilt speak to them through thy word by thy Spirit. Show them the Lord Jesus, we ask thee. Show them just how great and wonderful he is. Show them how worthy of their trust he is. We pray, Father, that thou wilt help them to put their trust in the Lord Jesus for everlasting salvation. So, Father, we just bring these things to thee, and we commit ourselves into thy hands now as we go home. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.